Hey there, this is Dominique, and welcome to the Experiencing Financial Contentment podcast. This episode originally aired as a video on my YouTube channel. You can find this and other episodes where I discuss financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development by visiting my YouTube channel or by visiting my blog at www.djhendersonsr.com. Now enjoy the episode. In this video, I'm going to give you five formulas for being financially successful and managing your money better. Get the pen and paper out. Hey everybody, this is Dominique with DJH Capital Management here on YouTube, your financial advisor, helping you make the better, bigger decision around your money, financial literacy, personal development, and economic empowerment. Just want you to do more with your life and money. And today I'm going to be giving you five of my favorite formulas for being financially successful and managing your money better. Let's get right into it. By the way, if you're not subscribed to the channel, what are you waiting for? Click below and make sure you subscribe right now so you can get updates for any of the videos that get released. And make sure you listen all the way to the end because I do have a free giveaway for you today. All right, the very first formula that is my favorite and that I think that all people need in order to be financially successful would be the emergency fund ratio. This is your rainy day fund. It's for when Murphy comes to knock and you need extra cash. Now, this is, I wouldn't say hotly debated, but different financial advisors give you different, let's say, formulas or rubrics for this. But I would say anywhere from 3 to 6 months of your living expenses should be saved in an account that you don't touch until you have an emergency. What would define it as an emergency? Well, let's say that you get into a car wreck and you have to pay for some repairs, or let's say you become disabled and you can't work and you're waiting for that time between when you got disabled and when maybe your job disability policy kicks in. Maybe that's like 90 days. So that's where the 3 months comes in. If you're in a double household and you definitely use all the money that is being generated by those double incomes, you would definitely want to up that amount, maybe up to, let's say, 6 months. That's where the 6 months comes from. But basically, you need money that is in cash that you can easily access, or you don't have to, you know, get into any penalties or anything like that in order to access the fund. This needs to be readily available cash, which is an emergency fund ratio. So in order to calculate the emergency fund ratio, what you would do is you would take whatever your, let's say, living expenses are for the month, and then you would divide cash that you have into a bank account into that number. So let's just say that the cash that you had was $5,000 and your living expenses were $2,500. So 5,000 divided by 2,500 gives you 2. That means that you would basically have 2 months of living expenses in cash. I would say that number probably needs to be at least 3 to 6, and you can always make it higher depending on your situation. Let's move on to the next one. All right, the housing ratio. This is another formula that, you know, we all have to live in a house. And typically speaking, when you have a mortgage, this doesn't really apply as much as when you rent, but when you have a mortgage, you don't want to have too much house. What do I mean by too much house? You can be very, what is called, house rich and cash poor. You generally want your house note, which is principal, interest, taxes, insurance, that whole number, when you divide that into your gross monthly income, you generally want that somewhere between, I would say, 28 to 35%. That's a normal number. Obviously, anything lower than 28%, that is great. But you really don't want more than a third of your gross monthly income going to your housing payment. It just shows that you are probably in too much house for the amount of income you have. And typically speaking, if that house does not appreciate at a rate that is comparable with the way that your income appreciates, you can end up getting into a very tight spot. You know, things do happen in life and you do become, you get on rough spots in time, and you definitely want to keep your housing ratio in proportion to your income. I always tell my clients, a real good rubric or rule of thumb would be when you're going to buy a house, try to keep it obviously in that 28 to 35% range, if not lower. Try to put 20% down on whatever house you're buying. And if you can make your note in that 28 to 35% range with a 15-year mortgage versus a 30-year mortgage, you're doing really well. So those three things really help when it comes to making sure you have the right housing ratio. And that would be formula number two. Let's move on to the next one. All right, that debt to income ratio, or its close cousin debt to assets. We're going to use both of those, and I'll explain both of them right now. Debt to income is a ratio in which lenders really kind of look at how much debt do you have in relation to how much income you have going out. So you can say for every dollar of income, how much is going towards paying off debt or going out the door towards debt. I've done an entire video on understanding this ratio. I'll link that up in the card so you can take a look at it. The debt to assets ratio, very similar in that for every dollar of assets that you have, how much is each asset being financed with debt, right? So let's say if you had assets or a net worth of $100,000, but you had 40% in debt, maybe through your home or through an auto loan or something like that. That means for every dollar of assets that you have, that means that 40% or 40 cents of every dollar is going out the door to finance those assets in the form of debt. And you really want to try to keep that below a third. For all intents and purposes, you want to, as you near retirement, to get that to be zero, because you don't want to have any of your assets being financed through debt. You want to be debt-free. So these are two ratios, two formulas that are being used by lenders and industry leaders that loan you money and things like that. And you want to be cognizant of keeping those numbers within well-defined guidelines. I would say with the debt-to-income ratio, as I've said before in other videos, is that you want that lower than 40%. Typically speaking, when you're looking at your credit report and things like that, you'll want your credit utilization to be under 30%. So there's ways to keep all those around that. And like I said, I've shot other videos, or we've talked about this in other videos that you can peruse on this channel. Savings rate, really self-explanatory, and we'll run through this real quick. It's just the amount that you're saving every month, whether that be retirement through 401ks and IRAs, or just putting money off to the side, maybe in a savings account or an investment account, divided by your gross income. I would say that anywhere 15% and up is where you want to be. Depending on what type of retirement lifestyle you want, in his book, Aspirational Investor, Ashvin Chhabra talks about a formula that would basically be the amount of time that you want to retire plus your working years divided by your retirement years, which usually gives you somewhere upwards of 25%. And you would have to read the book to kind of understand his logic. But what he's basically saying is that usually people in our society, in the American society, grossly undersave by not considering the cost of inflation, the purchasing power of money, investment returns, and all these different factors that need to be factored into how much money you really need in order to comfortably retire. So that's the savings rate. There's a couple of different variations on it, but for the most part, you can take whatever you're saving every month and divide that by how much you make in gross income, and this gives you your savings rate. And I would say you would want to shoot for something at least 15% or higher. All right, with our propensity to accumulate, this is one of those, I would say, back of the envelope type equations, and it works really well when you combine it with your savings rate. And all you're going to do is take your current net worth and divide that by the amount of years that you've worked. So let's say you've been working in industry for, 1 year, and your net worth is currently, $5,000. At the rate of $5,000 per year, and you want to work a 30-year career, if you look at if you're saving 15% a year, this will get you pretty close to what your retirement number needs to be or will be if you keep at this rate. And it's really good to just kind of give you a snapshot in time. Say that if you've been working for maybe 20 years and you've got $1 million accumulated, okay, I'm adding $50,000 of net worth per year, and this is the savings rate I've been using. So it's kind of a barometer, I would say, of sorts. You obviously want to use some probably more detailed calculations and more accurate retirement projections, but it gives you a good indication of where you're at. especially if you've been saving for some time and you kind of want to get a bead on or a gauge of how close you are to retirement based on how many years you have left, how you've been saving, and where you are now. All right, now I promised you a free giveaway. I have an infographic that gives you these five formulas and how you can use them in your particular situation. All you need to do is navigate to djhendersonsr.com. You'll get the very latest podcast if you're watching this one, and you can navigate and get that download for free. Now, here's my question for you. What do you think about these five formulas? Maybe you have some other ones that you've used over the years. I would love for you to share those with me. Why don't you put those down in the comments, and we will talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey there. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please give it a positive rating and review at the same location that you downloaded it. If you've got any questions for me, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel and leave me a comment as I answer every single comment I receive. Now have a great and prosperous day.